Ching, ching, bling, bling. Let's cut the chatter. Today, we are keeping it real. Estate style. Welcome to the Tucci Talks Wealth, Health, and Everything Else podcast. I'm your host, David Tucci, an educator, a father of three. Join me as I take you on a funky journey through life, from a reckless young man to a humbled older man. Each week, I will offer different insights on my life experiences and the experiences of others and how that has shaped our present day realities. So let's begin our funky journey into improving our health, wealth, and you guessed it, everything else. What are you doing here? I'm trying to record. Seriously, what are you doing?
Do you know what I mean?
I have no idea what you mean.
Do you know what I mean?
Stop.
Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean?
No, I don't.
Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean?
Will you leave me alone? Yeah, now I get it. You want me to put my hands together? Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Now I do.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean?
Let's go, people.
Do you know what I mean?
Move those shoulders.
Do you know what I mean?
Wake up that body.
Do you know?
Let's go. It's time for me to start this show. I'm going to play this out a little bit longer. This is a 1993 way back playback. Shout out goes out to my boys, DR, BT, KP, TR. You guys know what I mean. Come on. Let's play this out. Move. If you don't have rhythm, that's okay. Come on. Fire it out. Yeah, I love it. I love it. Welcome to another edition of Tucci Talks, where we talk wealth, health, and everything else. Please tell me I got you moving today. There are different ways you can incorporate movement in your life. Dancing is one of the fun ways to do it. Play your favorite tunes and just dance. It'll change your mood. I'm already in a better mood, which puts me in a better mindset to discuss our theme for today, which is real estate. What about real estate? It's fundamental in each of our lives. I'm just hoping I can learn something today. If you have a topic of interest, go to TucciTalks75.com and talk back. It's always great to get valuable discussion going. Before we dive into today's topic, let's recap last week. Bitcoin is such an enjoyable topic of conversation. I still cannot believe how many people are not involved in the network. Bitcoin is gold 2.0. It will be the greatest store of value and preservation of wealth in the foreseeable future. Or as some people remind me, it can go to zero. And it's responsible to say that it can go to zero, but there's a greater probability that it goes to 100K in the near future than it goes to zero. Don't you want to be a part of that ride? You can tell all your friends that you have a fraction of a Bitcoin. And then you can sing along to this song like I do every time I hear it.
Bitcoin, please go to moon. Stop going sideways now. Don't even say we going down to 1K. But Mr. Novo, God say we have bottomed out. Novo, God is foolish.
Sing along.
Yeah.
Bottom line, people, life is too important to be taken so serious. Citibank analyst Tom Fitzpatrick actually makes a case for a $318,000 Bitcoin by the end of 2021, which I highly doubt, but if that's the case, ching, ching, bling, bling. Billionaire hedge fund investor Ray Dalio now changes his tune about Bitcoin. He says it's okay to get in. But when David Bingo Palino Tucci says to people to get in back in the day, they say, you're crazy. It doesn't sound like I'm that crazy anymore. Just get in, people. Don't be the I missed the boat person and think it's too late to get in. It's not. Get into this fabulous space. Don't order out a couple of occasions and throw that $100 in savings into Bitcoin. That will actually motivate you to learn more about it because you have skin in the game. And that's not even financial advice. That's just G-Y-H-O-Y-A advice. And if you want to know what that means, you can email me, david@tuccitalk75.com. Anyway, let's move on to today's show. I have known my next guest for well over 25 years. In 2008, he graduated from the Ontario Real Estate Association and began a career in real estate, specializing in the residential resale market. For the last 12 years, he has been helping people realize their dreams of home ownership. He currently works as a sales representative with JN Realty. It is with great pleasure that Tucci Talks welcomes Craig, Keeping It Real, Tozer. So welcome to Tucci Talks. Thanks for coming on the show today and spending some time with me and the listeners. Hopefully we can offer some value to anyone considering buying or selling their home. I don't want to beat around the bush today. I want us to have an authentic conversation, and that's why I titled this episode, Keeping It Real, Estate Style.
Nice. Love it.
So let's try and keep it real. Can we do that today?
For sure. That's exactly what we're going to do. Keep it real.
So then what is your favorite part of being a licensed real estate agent?
Okay, my favorite part. Well, for me, I think probably the favorite part for me is just, you know, being able to be able to help people maybe realize their dreams when it comes to home ownership, whether it be people just first time buyers, or whether people maybe are deciding to downsize, you know, they're in a different part of life. Maybe they're retiring and want to, you know, head off somewhere down south. And so, you know, helping people realize those dreams, that for me, I think is probably the best part of, you know, being a real estate agent, you know, going through the process with them and realizing, you know, that what I do is helping them get to where they want to be in life.
Which is good, right? We want to be of service to others.
Exactly. Exactly.
So do you work as an independent?
Yeah, well, I'm an independent. So all agents in Ontario have to work with a brokerage. Otherwise, you can't trade in real estate. Okay. So you need a brokerage behind you. And so my brokerage is JN Realty, but I am an independent contractor with JN Realty.
But so do they take a little bit of your commission sales?
Yeah. Every brokerage has different commission, different plans. So they have like a desk fee, which is a monthly fee they charge a real estate agent. Every brokerage has this structure, and those fees are meant to pay for anything that you would require the office to do for you, make appointments,
right?
Take appointments, maybe a list a property on the MLS for you, anything that you need. They're there for support, and of course, you're paying that support through desk fees. And then you have a commission splits. So it might be a 90-10 split on commission, 95. There's various different ones. It all depends on the brokerage.
Right. So last week, I finished an episode on Bitcoin. And in that episode, there was a lot of discussion about entering this fourth industrial revolution, which is the digitization of the world. So we know that buying or selling a home is a major financial undertaking, not to mention an emotional one. So with this digitization of our world, I would think it's easier to buy and sell homes on your own. So with these for sale by owner options, which are FSBOs that can save people money on commissions, why would someone need a real estate agent?
Okay, well, let's to be fair, People who want to sell the property on their own, I truly do believe there is a portion of the population that can do that. They're savvy enough, have enough knowledge, or, you know, very tech savvy individuals, and, you know, might have some negotiating skills too that can help them do it. However, for the most part, you know, for the general public, that's not the case. And I think if you're wondering, you know, why do you need a real estate agent? Well, I guess what you need to ask yourself, you know, is trying to save money, you know, commissions, is that, you know, is that going to translate into you making more money once you sell your home, right? So the idea of saving money is, for many people, saving money means more money at the bottom line.
Okay, so right? Has somebody that you've known done it by FSBO and had a nightmare experience?
No, the person that I know that did it, they had a really good experience with it.
Okay.
Now I think part of that is because they had a friend that dealt in real estate, so they had a bit of, you know, guidance there to help them along the way, right? So for example, we're talking about saving costs. When you sell your home and you hire a real estate agent, the real estate agent is going to get you professional photographers. They're going to market the property. They're going to have bring a stager in. And some of those costs will be included in your commissions that you pay out anyways, right? And if you decide to sell privately, you might forgo some of those things. You know, instead of hiring a professional photographer, you might go around, take your own pictures.
Right? So
Not the best thing to do.
Yeah. Are you saying that if I had an agent and they were staging the home,
right,
that's included in at the end when we finally finalize the sale, that's part of the commission that they're going to get?
Yeah, that some agents will include that as part of their commission fee. All
right. Oh, I have to negotiate that?
When you're sitting down with the agent and figuring out, you know, let's say the agent's going to charge you 2.5% to sell your home, you may include in that the agent is going to pay for the photographer,
stager. Yeah.
Right. So that might be included. So that's why people want to do it privately, because they can forgo those things.
Gotcha.
Keep some money in their pocket. Right. Not to mention also the commission side of it as well. Right. That's obviously the biggest, you know, that is the biggest saving cost for the private seller.
Well, just to keep it quick and dirty, if you're talking about $1 million home at 2.5%, what is that? Like 25 G's?
That's 25,000. Yeah.
So maybe
a lot of money, right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I'm thinking.
I mean, it's a lot of money, but, you know, again, it's the value of that 2.5%. What are you getting out of it, right?
Yeah,
just get a real estate agent walking in with his iPhone, snapping pictures,
right,
putting a listing up, let's be honest, that's not really worth 2.5%. That's 25,000, right? You want somebody who's going to bring in the very best of, you know, of everything to help you sell your home and get the most money for you. So now, in terms of you. The real cost of saving money is where people don't understand that the cost of saving money is actually going to cost you more money later, right?
How?
So simply put, it's, you know, we're talking about, so emotional sales is one way, right? So when we're talking about having an agent, sort of like a buffer zone between you and a buyer, all right? It's very important. For real estate, for sellers. So it really prevents you from making stupid mistakes. So when you're selling your home on your own, you may tend to overprice your home, maybe thinking it's worth more than it really is, right? Maybe refusing to counter a low offer because you feel, you feel offended by it.
Right? Those are good points. I can see what you're saying with the emotional connection.
Absolutely, right?
So, yeah.
And listen, I don't blame people. I mean, you've been in your home for 20 years. How long you live in your house, Dave?
12
years. So, yeah. So, I mean, you walk in, there are certain memories you have of your home. You know, your kids were born there. They're growing up, sharing family, family memories, right? So, yeah. So someone walks in, maybe, you know, gives you an offer of $30,000, $40,000 less than you think it's worth. Well, I can see you getting upset for sure. I mean, I would probably too, right?
Got you. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. Or maybe something like you have a deadline to sell your home. So maybe you give in to selling the property at a price you didn't want to because you have a deadline.
So you're saying that's a negative of being your own. That's a negative one. I'm going to get too emotionally invested in this process.
Right. Because you're already emotionally invested in your home.
Right.
Right. Where a real estate agent is not, you know, he's not emotionally invested. He's invested because it's his job to be invested.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Selling your property. It's his job. So, you know, and other things too, like you're going to probably have to, you're going to deal with buyers directly when you're selling it on your own. So what if a buyer comes into your home and says, well, you know what? This kitchen is, you know, is nah, man. I'm gonna gut this kitchen.
Right.
And I'm gonna rip the floors up, and you're standing there listening to all this, and you're saying, "Well, I've been in this house 20 years, and what do you mean? What's wrong with it? Why?"
Right.
You know, like.
So I'm taking those as personal shots.
Absolutely, you are. Yeah, for sure. Right. So when you have a real estate agent, now you're saying, you know, the comments come to the agent.
So there's your buffer. There's your buffer.
Right. Yeah. He's going to say, well, you know what, Mr. Tucci, we had a couple of buyers in today and they liked your home overall. I thought it was nice. And they had a few things. They thought that the kitchen maybe needs some updating.
Right.
Now you hear me say the house needs updating, or the kitchen, or whatever part of the house needs updating, is a lot better than you hearing, I'm going to gut this, I'm going to gut that. Totally
me,
different.
Me personally, just by listening to you talk about this scenario, I would much rather have that buffer with a real estate agent personally, because I don't want that emotional involvement with, like you said, such a huge purchase. So it's a huge financial decision. So if I did decide that I wanted to use a real estate agent, which, listening to you speak now, I to me, that's the way I would lean. Everybody's different. I would lean to a real estate agent. What should a buyer or seller look for in an agent?
You know, you want somebody who knows the market, who knows the local market, right? Somebody who is, you know, been around a little bit, around the block a few times, has done this more than enough that they can do it with their eyes closed, basically.
Okay.
Right? And you want somebody definitely with knowledge, right? I mean, those two things are givens. They're givens. That's what you need in a real estate agent. But I think something, you know, obviously honesty, which seems, you know, obvious, but... you know,
so speaking about the keeping it real, is the industry a little gray, a little shady?
I won't say the industry is shady. I will say that there are some real estate agents that conduct their business in a shady way.
Okay.
Right. I mean, and like any business, you know, any industry.
So how can I suss that out?
Okay. Well, so let's say, for example, you invite me over to your house. Look around, sit down and talk. Because I always tell people, interview two or three real estate agents.
Okay.
It's always the best way because, like, you know, like you go, you don't
so just like
the
when you say
the first car.
Yeah, but when you say interview, like bring the person to the home and just ask them questions, get a feel for them.
You can ask them questions, right? And you can ask me anything, you know, and that's a good way to sort of weed out those agents that know that are knowledgeable, right? Again, knowledge. And the experience too, asking them about, you know, past deals they've done, how many deals they may have done this year. And you get an idea of their professionalism as well, how they handle themselves in front of you. You also get to know if they're personable, how they speak to you, how they communicate. They look you directly in the eye, right? So there are things that, how they communicate, that's very important.
Right.
Right. So those are the things that you're looking for in a real estate agent. I mean, and not to mention too, you know, like I said, I did say professional, but you want someone who's reputable, right? And so I know one agent, when I say reputable, you know, you someone in good standing. I mean, you can always go on the RECO website, Real Estate Council of Ontario.
Okay.
Put their name in and you'll find out if there's any.
So that's public. That's all public.
That's public. Yeah. Real Estate Council.
It's called RECO. RECO. It's called. Yeah.
Okay. That's right. Yeah. RECO. RECO. And you can put the real estate. There's a tab there. You can press it. It'll say, put the agent's name in, and then it'll tell you any decisions against the agent or any outstanding complaints.
Oh, okay. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's one. And you can Google the person's name.
Yeah. Yeah.
Too, right. So, I mean, and I've come across, like, not too long ago, I came across one agent who was actually fired from his brokerage for racially charged comments on Twitter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, right.
Can you share that or not? You don't want to.
I probably shouldn't. No, okay. I won't share what was said. I can just tell you, though.
Yeah, that, give an idea, just a little perspective. Of.
Well, let's just say he made some comments about a particular group of people.
But I don't understand. You said recent. Like, aren't we in 2020? I mean, don't we know better?
Well, we should know better. I mean, especially if you're, you know, as a real estate agent, you should know that. Every word you say, once it gets out there, it's out there. I mean, you know, so do you think
do you think they deserve to get fired?
Yes. I don't think any brokerage would. Now he deserved to get fired. He did get fired. Another broker picked him up and you know, he went on with someone else.
Okay.
Now I dealt with him directly. Well, in terms of a real estate transaction, he was okay. But would you hire someone like that who says things and racially right. charged, you know, it speaks to the person really.
Right. And their integrity and their values and beliefs.
Values and morals. And yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So so if I finally decide on an agent, so is there anything else that somebody should expect in terms of the working relationship between client and agent?
Yeah. So that's really important. So once, you know, okay. So, you know, you decide, okay, Craig, we're going to go with you as our real estate agent, right? So,
yeah.
So what happens then is that the seller, in this case, a seller would enter into a type of an agreement with the brokerage. Okay. So there's two kinds. It's a representation agreement.
So let's say I'm the seller.
You're the seller.
I agree to have you as my real estate agent.
Right. Right. So you're going to, you and I are going to sign a listing agreement.
Okay. Right?
And that listing agreement actually makes you my client. You become a client of mine. All right. So there's that one, or you could sign up as a customer. Okay, a customer service agreement or a client representation agreement. Okay.
So what's the difference?
Okay, differences. So yeah, so as a client, all right, the real estate agent or the brokerage has something called fiduciary duty. All right. We must act in your best interest at all times. It's very important.
So as a customer, you don't have fiduciary duties.
Right. No, in that regard, we don't have to give you fiduciary duties. Okay. There's no duty of care there really. But there's an obligation to treat you with fairness, honesty, and integrity.
Okay.
All right. And provide you with conscientious and competent service. Okay.
So is there a difference in the commission if I choose to be a customer rather than a client?
No, there's no real cost difference in terms of, you know, of a commission.
So then why would anybody want to be a customer?
You know what? I'll be honest. I have no idea why someone would want to be a customer, right? I mean, I think you'd want to be a client. You definitely would want to, have someone there for you to protect you throughout, you know, a negotiation, right? Someone who knows what they're doing, put your interests first.
So why don't they have that? Why do they have that then? Why do they have that option of being a customer or a client?
So, so first off, the government of Ontario actually makes the rules up for real estate agents. Okay. So all the rules that we have to follow, the government of Ontario is the one that actually sets the rule. Okay.
Okay.
I spoke about RICO. Now RICO, the Real Estate Council of Ontario, they're sort of that arm's length agency.
Okay.
The government, and they enforce the rules. Okay. They enforce rules. Now, why they would, like, personally speaking, I don't understand why they would even have a different, you know, two different sort of agreements. I mean, I would want to be a client, not a customer, if it meant
there's got to be something, there's got to be a reason why they have it.
So, so I think the only thing is if you're a seller, you may want to sign a customer service agreement. So you will negotiate the deal with your agent. Okay.
So I'm negotiating as a seller. If I'm the seller, I'm negotiating my deal as a customer.
That's right. That's okay. Right. But you want all the other services that an agent would provide, you know, showings, the brokerage is making the, is accepting appointments on your behalf, you know, all, everything else, but actually negotiating the deal.
So then,
so that's why there's a customer service.
Me listening to you say this, the only thing that I can think of is perhaps I think as a seller that I can get a better deal than an agent, but I still want the, all the bells and whistles that go along with the marketing and.
Yeah,
is that what I'm understanding?
That's probably exactly what it is for the seller.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay? That makes sense.
It does. So, I mean, but you take, don't forget, you do have, there is a chance possibly that by doing that, I mean, you negotiate a deal. You keep in mind the buyer has an agent for the most part, right? So a lot of what you say will get, you know, the agent will have a duty to repeat the information that he's getting from you to his client.
So why wouldn't I want that? Like, wouldn't I want the agent to disclose whatever to the,
not necessarily. I mean, you could be talking to the agent and you accidentally say to him or her something like, you know, I really, you know, I'm listed at 700,000, but you know, if I can walk away here with 650, I'll be happy. Well,
I slipped up.
And now he's going to go back to his client and say, look, he's okay with 650.
You know, because the agent has to disclose that, you're saying.
He has a fiduciary duty to his client, exactly.
Right.
To disclose any information that the seller may have told him, right?
But you know what, Tozer? I friggin' played Monopoly all my life. I'm a shark. I would want to negotiate my own friggin' deal. Why else did I play at Basil's every lunch in the cafeteria for that moment
to finally put it
to good use?
Exactly. I remember for sure. But you know what's funny though? It you'd be surprised how many people think they can do that.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm making light.
I know you're joking. Yeah.
But I'm sure people think that they can negotiate and they don't need that real estate agent. They're going to negotiate a better deal. And then they probably 8 out of 10 times they'll negotiate a worse deal is my guess.
Oh, for sure. I mean, think of it like this. How many houses have you negotiated?
Exactly.
How many sales have you negotiated?
That's what
I'm
saying.
How many are real estate negotiated?
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, again, so it goes back to the same question. Why would someone want to be a customer as opposed to a client, right? It really doesn't make any sense. You know what I'm saying?
It doesn't.
No, it doesn't. But again, I guess the government decided to give people the option if they felt they were comfortable enough to be able to, you know, really. Yeah.
For guys like me, who's played Monopoly all their life and think they can negotiate houses.
Exactly. So, you know, that's.
So you mentioned fiduciary duties that real estate agents owe to their clients. What are some of those duties? You mentioned care and diligence. Are there any others?
Okay. So there's six in total. All right. I'll just quickly go through them. So there's disclosure, which is one. There is accounting, loyalty, care and diligence, like I said, confidentiality as well, and obedience. All right. So I'll go through them really quickly. Disclosure. You have to disclose any information to your client that would help them in negotiating a deal. Right.
Okay, we
so
mentioned
for example,
that.
If you're. We mentioned that. Right. So but from the buyer side. Again, you know, if the seller says anything to me that I know would help my client, of course, I have to tell my client that. That would be maybe you're willing to accept a lower price, anything that's affecting the value of the property. Maybe I find out there's a leak in the roof. Well, my client might decide to give you $10,000 less because that has to get fixed, right? Mm-hmm. So that's disclosure, and then you have accounting. So anytime that there is money involved, so a lot of times after an agreement is made, there is a deposit check that has to be given from the buyer to the seller. It's entrusted to the real estate agent to deliver that deposit check, right? That check should be deposited into a broker's account, not into a personal account or a business account. It has to be into a broker's trust account.
Why? So, have people have agents deposited?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Oh, yeah. And they've actually, you know, there's been cases where brokerages have taken money and, you know, money from the trust account has gone missing.
Wow.
Gone. See you later. Now, thank goodness we do have insurance for that.
Right.
So that happens. The agents have liability insurance, errors and omission insurance is called. So yep. if they're so if stuff like this happens, you know, we have insurance to back us up. Okay. So what else? We have accounting. So loyalty. So you got to put our client's interest above our own. Okay. And this is probably one of the more fundamental duties that an agent has. So, you know, I guess, you know, one example would be if your client was interested in a property and then and maybe you dissuaded him or her from buying it, and then you turn around and then you buy the property yourself and then resell it later, right?
This is crazy. This sounds like it's been done. that's why the rules are here. I know.
That's why the rules are here.
That's insane.
Yeah. Well, most of the stuff that comes up is, you know, obviously things that have happened in the industry that's given way to these rules that we have to follow as real estate agents, right? So, and I mean, like, again, you asked me, why am I in, you know, what I like about real estate? I mean, for me, I want to be there, be part of the process for somebody, right? Right. To see them realize that, you know, watch them get into their first home, you know, and then, you know, or like I said, maybe they're selling to retire, you know, the next phase of life.
Whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
That to me is important, but for some agents, it's maybe about the dollar more than you make a lot of money as a real estate agent. If you're good enough,
work hard at it.
Unfortunately, we always have those agents that aren't, you know, quite on the up and up.
But isn't it more satisfying to make money as well as create value and do the job with integrity?
Absolutely. 100%. Oh, for sure. Right. I think we all need to understand that you can do a really good job with a client with, you know, upholding all the duties you're supposed to uphold. You make some money, and then that client will come back to you in the next 3 to 5 years to sell their home, buy another one. In the meantime, they probably referred your name to 2 or 3 or maybe more people because they were happy.
Exactly. Yeah.
As opposed to pulling the blinds over a client's eyes and scooping a house from underneath them. And then they realize what you did, you get no more business from that person. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Right?
And your name's out there and it's not sounding too good. It's not very, you know, no, your reputation is taking a hit big time. Right.
Right.
So, yeah. So definitely.
So then what would happen if these duties were neglected? The duties that you mentioned, what would happen if a real estate agent neglected these duties?
Okay. So there's 3 things that could happen. All right. Now the courts will decide which of the 3 will be sort of determined, but the 3 of them could be loss of commissions, pay for damages, and rescission. So loss of commissions is pretty self-explanatory. You know, you're going to have to pay back your commissions. Paying for damages.
To who? Who am I paying it to?
The loss of commission goes back to, so the seller who paid the commissions.
Yeah.
You have to give that money back to the seller.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay. Paying for damages. Now, something like that would happen if, let's say I disclose to a potential, let's say I'm selling your home. I disclose to a buyer that you lost your job. You need to sell because the bank is about to foreclose on your mortgage, and you end up getting $50,000 less than you could have because of my negligence in repeating that information. Mm-hmm. Now, you find that I did that, you sue me, I would have to pay the difference between what you could have got. That could happen. And the rescission would be that the properties would be returned back to the original owner, or if properties would be restored to their previous states. In other words, the seller would get back their house, the buyer would get out of the deal without paying any penalties or whatever. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But I think if you're having problems with your real estate agent, it's very important. I said earlier about, you know, communicating with your real estate agent. It's very important. I mean, if there's something that they're doing that you don't like, you got to call them out. Because remember what I said, they work for you. You don't work for them, right?
I think that's important. And we got to get over ourselves. Like sometimes me as the client, I feel afraid to call this person out.
That's right. And you know, listen, I've had a situation. I'll tell you one situation where I had where, so somebody, you know, wanted to sell their property, and it was, I mean, it needed tons of work. Okay. And my client was really, really adamant about a certain price point. All right. And it was nowhere near that. It had no business being, you know, at the
what
price
they thought. Person, yeah.
What they thought. Yeah. So what I thought and what this person thought was vastly different. But as my client, again, you work for them. So, you know, they wanted the price at, I think we had a price that 545 or something like 549, I think what we had it at. So anyways, I was able to get her an offer at 546 and she would make it.
Sorry, you cut out. She what?
Sorry. So we were listed at 549. I got her an offer at 546.
Yep.
Okay. And she wouldn't take it. She wanted 549. And I sent her, I said, well, we're
for
talking
$3,000.
It's exactly to me. It's nothing.
Is she right? Dealing with that? Were you dealing with Antonio Tucci?
No.
He's incredible. He's so stubborn. No. He's like, no, if it's a dollar, I want that price.
Yeah. Yeah. See, that's the emotional aspect that we're talking about earlier, right? Right. So Antonio would have probably slapped me in the back of the head if I came back $3,000 less than what he wanted. Right? But so she ended up not taking it. Anyways, the property sat on the market. And I went back to her every time. I said, look, you need to lower the price. This is where you need to be. And she wouldn't do it. 6 weeks went by. The house just sat there. Hmm. Nothing was happening. I did a couple of open houses. People came through. They just weren't interested. Okay. So I told her, come down to 515. I know it's a huge decrease, but you need to do it because she bought a house. She's getting closer to her.
Yeah. Her closing.
So one day she comes to me and she says to me, Craig, she goes, look, she goes, I asked her again for the price drop. She says, if you ask me again, then we're going to have to just end this right now.
End the relationship.
Yeah. End the relationship. And I said to her, I said, you know what? I'm not going to ask you again, but we're just going to end the relationship.
Oh, so you did it right there and then?
Yeah. I fired her in essence. I mean, there was no point.
Right.
In going on because she just was not listening. Now,
I'm just curious, what did the house sell for?
Well, this is the best part, right? So she listed the house again with somebody else and it went for 509.
It sold for 509. It's
509. Yeah. And I told her 515.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she lost out the initial deal of 526.
No, 546.
Sorry, my bad. 549.
Yeah.
So she would have got 546.
She would have got 546, but because she wanted that full price.
Right. Right.
She got greedy and it ended up biting her, right?
Yeah. Right. Right. So
that's an example of you know, having that communication with your real estate agent. She told me straight out, right? Don't ask me again for a price drop because if you do, we're done.
Right.
And I'm the one that ended it.
Right. Right. No, that's good. Like at least you're saying, at least she said, came out and said this to you.
That's right. Instead of the house doesn't, let's say she keeps you, the house doesn't sell. Now she's speaking badly of me.
Right.
I don't know what I'm doing. Right.
So it was in your best interest to get rid of her.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Right. Now she still may talk bad about me, but she has no reason to. Right. Yeah. Because I mean, at the end of the day, pretty much house sold for what I wanted to list it at. Right.
Right.
So yeah.
Who's floating the housing market now? Who's keeping it going?
It's still, I mean,
where are the transactions coming from? Where are the sales coming from?
Transactions are, well, again, millennials have now, like I said, are now in the market. They are definitely, you're seeing a lot more and more of them buying homes now. Okay. It really is. But I mean, there's still other things like there are still people who, you know, I think a lot too has to do with I think immigration has a lot to do. I mean, we're seeing immigration now. Like, you know, when your parents came or your grandparents came here, they didn't have a lot of money. We don't have the same kind of immigrants anymore.
So you're saying they're coming in with
they're coming in with money. Yeah, they're coming with money, right? So
yeah.
You know, they have the ability to buy.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point.
So, and then there's of course people who've been, you know, in the last few years since probably since, you know, when we had the great recession back in 2008, 2009, you know, a lot of people lost their homes, but a lot of people made a lot of money during that time too. Right.
Right.
They were snapping up homes that were just dropping in price. And then within a couple of years, you know,
the value is back.
Now, the value bounced back like crazy. I mean, 2016, 2017 was nuts. So we,
as in the high value,
the value. Yeah. I mean, we had people, you had as an agent, you would, all you do is you put the sign on the front lawn for sale
and, it sold.
And an hour later you put sold. It was that crazy. And I had one person who I knew, he bought a house. He sold his home during in 2016. And he sold it for, I believe 1.1 million. Okay. Then he went and rented for 6 months. And then in 2017, the beginning of 2017, the prices were still high. Then it kind of trailed off and dropped a little bit. He went and bought the same style home he had for 920.
So he came out on top.
He came out on top. And that's the kind of thing that was sort of happening, right?
Yeah.
I had agents in my office, you know, tell me that, you know, he went in for a multiple offer situation, 30, 40 offers on a house. It's just,
you know what I heard of but I remember those stories, people saying, 30 offers on a house, a blind bidding, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah. And speaking of blind bidding, that property I said I had in Toronto that I listed at 969, the buyer saw it on the internet and bought it for 1.1 sight unseen. You imagine that?
What does that mean? Sight unseen.
Didn't bother seeing the house.
Oh,
he saw it on the internet, looked at the pictures, sent me an offer.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, the market, it's nuts. It's just crazy everywhere. Right. So, so millennials, you know, the challenges that they're facing, you know, how do they get around the challenges? Well, you know, they living with mom and dad a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Right. That's huge. I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, I don't think you moved out of your parents until you got married, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So, and then you guys bought a house, right? So you moved out. Yeah. And so, but millennials weren't doing that. They were on their own and, you know, like I said, renting downtown Toronto.
Right. Right.
Now they're, you know, definitely staying longer with mom and dad, trying to save money, right? Rent free.
If the relationship is good, right?
If it's good. Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Yeah.
The other thing is, like I said to you, that what we call borrowing from the bank of mom and dad. So, you know, what we're seeing now is probably like what's actually having an influence on home prices, because there's a great transfer of generational wealth.
Mm-hmm.
So our parents who have a lot more money than we do right now, right? They're handing over $100,000, $200,000 to the kids in order to get them in the real estate market.
Gotcha.
Right. And that is driving prices up even higher.
So parents are kind of financing this stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
They're not waiting for them. You know, they're not going to wait till they pass away to give the kids the money.
Right. I mean, right.
You know, what's the point of doing that?
Yeah,
you might
as well
give it to them now and let them get ahead in life. Right.
Yeah.
So that helps them afford, millennials who afford to buy homes. You know, who can afford a $1 million house for their first house? Nobody. I mean, that's just, you know, that when you're 30, you know.
Absolutely. I get it. Yeah.
So I was going to say, so, you know, I guess expectations too, like some, you know, a lot of these people, and that includes you and I and anyone else who, when they buy a home, you know, you want that like detached home and you want to, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 square foot home, and you want it all right off the bat, right? But because of affordability or availability, they might have to, you know, maybe redefine how and where home ownership will what it will look like.
Right. So if they kind of put it in the expectation zone that they can afford, they're going to have to lower a little bit of the standards, but they'll be able to get into the home market.
Absolutely. Right. So that might mean leaving, you know, moving further from the city,
Right. Right.
Prices are a little are lower.
And have you seen that? Have people done
that? Oh, yeah. Toronto, yeah. Toronto, if not mistaken, saw a decrease in sales. And you saw an increase in the GTA around it.
Right. So they're moving away.
They're moving away. Yeah, absolutely.
From the city,
right
now, yeah.
And some of that has to do with COVID too. I mean, a lot of people are planning, are thinking that, you know, they're going to be able to work from home. So there's no real need to be in the city.
Yeah.
That's proximity true. To work isn't as important now, right?
Right.
Now, we won't find out for sure until COVID is over that do these companies call back their employees?
Got you.
Maybe they don't. Yeah. So, you know, again, changing expectations, right, on type housing types or size, right? So you're going to try and stretch your dollar further.
Right.
Okay, that's a little, and then there's pooling resources too. So you might have millennials who might join up with a brother, a sister, a cousin, a friend, and together, you know, we'll go.
They buy a home?
Yeah, they'll buy a home together, right?
Wouldn't that cause some issues?
Well, it could. There's no doubt that it could. I mean,
you're right. But you're just saying that's what it might take. So they'll do that. They'll pool other resources.
Right? And you can find homes, you know, for example, two units in a home, right? You have upstairs, a kitchen in the basement.
You
know, now you have to decide who gets what part of the house. I mean, you know, you might suck. You know, you might get the basement. You don't want the basement, but you know, maybe that's a sacrifice that you do make.
Right.
So, you know, it's definitely, there's definitely ways around the challenges. It's just a matter of finding, you know, the way for that person to do what they're comfortable doing to, you know, get themselves into some real estate.
Right. So like, it just goes back to the, where there's a will, there's a way. They'll try to make it happen and explore all their options.
That's right. Absolutely. For sure.
Well, I appreciate this. I think you gave some good value here, and you know how we do. I know you listen to the podcast, and you know that we have our Guess What segment as we wind down. And what I want to do is I wanted you to give me some questions, and I gave you the theme. And did you come up with some questions?
Yeah, I got okay, a few.
So
here,
the theme is things they don't teach you in school.
Right.
Things that make you go
So
let's see how I do.
Let's see how you do. Okay, so
yes.
What?
In Scotland, it is customary for the locals to paint the front door red. Why? All right. So A, their home is for sale. B, their home has been sold. C, they have finished paying off their mortgage. Or D, they love the color red.
In Scotland?
Yeah.
I'm going to take a line out of William Wallace, and they say they can take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom. And I'm going to go with C.
That's it. Exactly right. They finish off.
I didn't even know why, but you always go with C.
Always go with C.
I don't even know what the answer was, but I said C.
It was, and that is the answer. They finished paying off their mortgage.
Awesome.
Yeah, so they painted the door red, which is kind of cool.
That is cool.
All right, so number two here. So let me give you a situation. So a buyer has placed an offer on your home.
Okay.
Right? They've waived their conditions.
A buyer places an offer on my home, and the buyer has waived the conditions?
Buyer puts an offer on your home. Okay. Yeah. They've waived the conditions. So they got their financing, and they did a home inspection on your property. And they both... everything went through fine. They've waived those two.
Before this is a good. I want to just make a point. Is it the buyer's responsibility to get the home inspection?
Yeah, it usually it is. Now, what I do normally though is I always try to convince my sellers to do a pre-inspection.
Okay.
And the reason why I do that is because we'll know the problems with the house before we list the home.
Got you. Okay, fair enough.
Right. And then this way it does two things. One, it gets us to be able to get a jump on the problems and get them fixed up before we show the property. Secondly, the emotional aspect of it. We talked about that earlier, right? So you know, when a buyer comes in as a home inspection and we find out the roof has got to be changed, and then the seller gets all upset, and you know, so
that's avoided. That's all avoided.
Yeah. So, but yeah. But normally, yes. Even though my clients do a pre-inspection, the buyer still can do their own inspection if they still wish. Okay. But it is
sorry to interrupt. So no, let's just okay. go. Yeah. Sorry. Let's go through that scenario now. Yeah, so they the waive. They waive. Yeah.
And now the property has been sold firm. All right.
Okay.
Now, in what situation could arise that the deal could still fall apart? So it's a firm deal.
Okay. Right?
So what situation could arise that the deal could still fall apart? So A, buyer claims they have buyer remorse and they want to back out. B, issues on title search. C, there isn't anything a buyer can do. They're obligated to close the deal. Or D, the seller wants to sell the home to someone else who has offered more money.
Okay, I'm going to eliminate C and D. You kind of cut out on B. What was B again?
Issues on title search.
I'm going to say buyer's remorse. A.
Okay. Nope. The answer would be B.
So I narrowed it down to 50. I narrowed it down.
Yeah, you did. You should have used your 50-50 on that, buddy.
I didn't need, on that one, I would have guaranteed the response.
You would have, exactly.
So issues on the title search. Okay.
Yeah, so there's a in your agreement of purchase and sale, there is a title search date. And that is there for the buyer's lawyer has until that date to check the title of the property. Now, okay. On the property, you might find, for example, let's say you had some work done. You had some guys put a deck in the backyard or they redid the bathrooms and kitchen and you didn't pay him. So he puts a lien on your property.
Got you. Yeah. So that would be an issue. Right? Yeah.
So let's say there's an outstanding lien of $25,000. Well, now the buyer's lawyer is going to contact your lawyer and say, well, we found a lien. Is your seller going to pay it?
Right.
If you say yes, then there's no problem.
Then no problem. Yeah.
If you say no, then it's on the buyer to decide if they want to pay the lien, because you have to give free and clear title on closing. Gotcha. There can't be any liens.
Yeah. Okay.
No, it's got to be free and clear, right?
Okay.
So if the buyer says, yes, I'll pay it, then we're good to go. But if the buyer says, no, I'm not paying it, I'm backing out of the deal.
They're allowed to back out.
No penalty.
Right. No penalty, even though we had a firm deal.
Absolutely.
Not anymore.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Absolutely. Next.
Number three, you found a home and you're ready to make an offer. Your agent tells you that there are multiple offers on the property. Okay. Are you able to see these other offers? So A, no, it is a closed bidding process. B, yes, it is an open bidding process. C, yes, only if you ask to see the offers. And D, only at the seller's discretion.
I'm going to say A, no.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. No, it's a closed bidding process.
Closed bidding.
So there could be 4, 5, 6 offers. None of the offers can be disclosed to the other buyers, right? None of the terms can be disclosed. So the only thing that can be disclosed would be stuff like total number of offers submitted.
Right. Okay.
You know, if any of the buyers are represented by the same brokerage. Or if
you got one, do you have one more question for me? And if I answer this right, I think I'm ready to friggin' sell and buy homes.
Yeah, man. Sure. I'll hire you right away, buddy. Okay, here, I got one more for you. This is a good one.
All right, go for it.
All right. Both Canada and Denmark have disputed a claim to Hans Island. All right. Hans Island, H-A-N-S. All right.
Okay.
Now, this is located right in the middle between Canada and Greenland. Okay. All right. Okay. Now, how do these two countries wage war on this apparently very important real estate?
Rock, paper, scissor.
Yeah, that wouldn't be too bad of an idea. So, A, warships circle the island.
That sounds ridiculous.
B, they keep it peaceful and share the island. C,
okay.
They visit the island occasionally and remove the other country's flag and leave a bottle of liquor. Or D, the island actually belongs to the United States.
I'm going to say no. Greenland, you're talking about?
Hans Island is right in between.
Oh, Greenland. Hans Island.
Yeah, it's in between Canada and Greenland, but that part of Greenland is actually belongs to in Danish water.
In Denmark, okay, so water. I'm gonna.
So that island is right in the middle. So I'll go.
So say that through it again. I mean,
A, warships circle the island.
Sounds ridiculous.
Okay. B, they keep it peaceful and they share it. C, they visit the island occasionally and remove the other country's flag and leave a bottle of liquor.
How is that even an option? Like, that sounds so ridiculous that it might actually be right. But anyway,
and,
go on.
And D, the island actually belongs to the United States.
I'm going to say C.
You got it, buddy.
I freaking see how ridiculous. Give me my real estate license.
Yeah, you,
give
me my
real estate license.
So what they do is, like, Canada went over, put their flag in the ground. The Denmark flag was there. They ripped that out, put the Canadian flag in, and they left a bottle of Canadian whiskey.
Okay.
When Denmark found out what Canada did, they went, took their flag out, put the Danish flag in, and left a bottle of Danish schnapps. So this is what they do back and forth.
So ridiculous.
Yeah. So anyway, I thought that was kind of cool.
That's so funny. I love it. I love it, man. I appreciate, in the spirit of COVID, I know you're in your own home, but I appreciate just looking at your eyes and your forehead for the last 2 hours.
Yeah, well, you know, it's
you had the camera.
Oh, was it lower? Yeah, sorry, man.
That's okay. I appreciated that.
No problem, man. No problem. Hey, listen, thank you very much for having me on. You're doing a great job. I listen to you every week, man. It's great. I love everything you do, and I hope you keep doing it because I think everybody really gets a lot out of, you know, your insight and, you know, the people you have on.
Well, it's guests like you guys that offer your time and your expertise, and we're able to have a good conversation, and that's where we're trying to find the value in just the conversation.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, I appreciate it. It's been great. Yeah. Thank you very much.
So thanks for coming on, brother.
No problem, man. We'll talk to you soon.
We'll talk.
All right.
Bye.
Later.
I have heard many horror stories from my older brother, who is a lawyer and deals with the real estate market. He has dealt with purple bricks. Basically, you use purple bricks to save on commissions, but he has dealt with agents there that just don't know what they're doing. Not all, but a lot of them. So I guess if you are savvy enough, it could be cost effective to do your own bidding, but you do get what you pay for. But then again, I don't want to pay 2.5% to an agent that just isn't worth their salt. I guess it is up to each one of us to do our own due diligence. I like the advice Craig gave. Interview some agents and see if it's a good fit. If nothing feels right, then you can always go the FSBO route. Your home is an important investment, and I think it would be prudent to get the right agent to do your bidding. So thanks again to Craig for sharing his perspectives. Maybe you got some value out of the interview. I know I learned a couple things, and that's what we're here to do. We're always here to learn. Anyway, next week is the first episode where I will have multiple guests on the podcast. I will be bringing in a group of young men that I had coached back in the day. We will be discussing life and basketball. And of course, we'll throw in a little Christmas cheer. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thank you for the support. It is truly uplifting, especially on the days I'm not feeling my best. Please, please, please check the website out for a lot of useful material, TucciTalk75.com. That's it for me. We will all meet again real soon. The holidays are here. And let's never forget to bring a little, that's right, cheer to your life. That only comes the time of year. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The choir of children sing their song.